Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So, both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us, and it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.
Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
Vault Dwellers, Wastelanders, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and today I have a very special guest, a man who left the vaults almost 6 years ago, currently wandering the wasteland of Appalachia to this day, but I was able to track him down and convince him to join me in my little bunker here. My little camp. I've got everything set up for us to do this little recording. He's kind of like the guy who's out there, you know, like the news reporter who's out, you know, in the storm while everyone else stays back at the office. I think you all know who this guy is. Tooniversal. He's been on the show before. Tooniversal, welcome back. How's it going?
Yeah, I still have no clue what I'm doing out here in the wasteland, but Tom, here we are again.
I don't know, man. I watch your streams and you pull out some weapons and just disintegrate things. Like you've clearly been playing a long time.
You know, that's my thing with Bethesda games throughout the course of history and my experience with them is like, how powerful can I get? And granted, I don't like do everything I can to like max myself out, but like, you know, I like to have fun and I like to kill things rather quickly and efficiently.
Yeah, dude. Like, you're very good at that. But here, for anybody who doesn't know, this is Tooniversal. He's been streaming Fallout 76. He's always at the top of the list on Twitch. So if you sort things by Fallout 76 and maximum numbers, you'll see him on the list. You can go check out his stream, Tooniversal. And he's one of the people that I know has the most time in this game because this is your main game. You play this almost every day and have for years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been my main game for coming up on 6 years, which the time has just flown by, and I mean the game has just changed so much.
Yeah,
over the course of those 6 years, you know.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to bring you in. This is something I want to do more of with the show moving forward. I spend a lot of the episodes just kind of myself doing the research and talking, but I want to reach out to more people who have both been on the show or haven't been on the show yet. You know, get other people's perspectives on things. And I personally dive in and out of Fallout 76, you know, whenever it feels like.
oh, there's an event I want to do, or hey, I've kind of put this other game down for a while, I'm going to jump back in. I think a lot of people kind of have those kind of waves of,
sure,
of playing,
yeah,
right? But yeah, I you know, in getting through it and hunting down all the spooky scorch and kind of getting back into the grind of it and exploring the game, one of the things that occurred to me is that where in the past in this game, I've had certain things have kind of just worn on me, little things that just kind of felt like, oh, this could have been better, this could have been better. This recent time, I barely have anything to complain about. And so I wanted to reach out to somebody who has a much deeper experience with this game and get your thoughts on the recent updates, where you're at now, what you're doing while you play, what you're looking forward to, and then where you think this game is going in the future. So let's just dive into it. There have been a number of recent updates. They've added a whole new zone to explore in, lots of new quest lines, new events, all sorts of fun things. What is your perspective of like the last year or so of where this game has kind of evolved?
Well, I think the Fallout show with Amazon brought a lot of people into the game that weren't previously into the game, which has been really, really great. So I think that also caused some things to change, thinking about like just the seasonal system has changed.
That's
since,
right. Yeah.
You know, the show's inception. And I mean, Fallout scoreboard was just really, really different from other seasonal systems. And you know, I love that the Fallout franchise in 76 has always just sort of taken things and done it their own way and ran with it.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that about the scoreboard, the new scoring system. I understand why they did it, even if I don't necessarily like it all that much.
So you preferred to just kind of fill in the gaps for some people who really yeah. haven't played the game much. We used to have a kind of like a game board.
Game board.
Right.
Yeah.
And you kind of follow, like, you know, think about playing Life or something, right? You'd follow mm-hmm. the game board around the board. And as you move from one place to another, you unlock things kind of just in sequence. And now yeah. we have a page. And you acquire what is it? What are the little tickets called?
You need score to acquire the tickets, and then the tickets are used to purchase whatever you want from
that
the
page.
Score the pages,
right?
Yes.
And if you hit level 10, then you open up the next page. Level 20,
exactly.
Open up the next page, and then
which is more in line with other multiplayer base games like this, right? So it's like Battle Royale does this, Fortnite does it, so Helldivers 2 has done it, which is another game that I played.
Yeah.
So I understand why they did it, because it makes it more familiar to people who are coming in who have not necessarily experienced the Fallout style of seasonal content. So I understand why they did it. I really like the game board style, though.
Yeah, you liked it better. So what specifically yeah. was better about the game board?
Just easier to understand what you were getting into, and it didn't feel so much like a grind. You know, you had to get to rank 100 on the old scoreboard. Then after that, every rank that you got some sort of consumable, whether it was modules or
lunchboxes,
carry boosters, you know, stuff like that. The gold, you
right.
get score, you get a script, you know, you get lots of different things, and it just feels like from 100 to 150, it just feels like a slog. Until you can really start unlocking some of that really fun, you know, modules are one of the greatest commodities you can get now. And it just takes a while to get there. So I kind of miss the old scoring system where it felt like you got that instant gratification from getting beyond 100, where it just feels like a slog getting to 150.
Yeah, I get that. Now, you mentioned modules. One of the other things that has updated recently is the way that you handle legendary items.
Mm-hmm.
Like we used to have to take them to a machine, and then you would sell them to the machine, and there was a limit of how much you could make of script that you could get from the machine, and then you had to go use that to try to get these other random rolled items or random modules or whatever. And now the system is you can just break stuff down, and although the chances are very, very slim that you actually get a module out of it or learn how to craft like a legendary thing, it can happen. So do you feel like that's an improvement?
I think so. I think allowing people to get exactly what they want, whether that's through learning the particular legendary mod themselves or trading for those or buying those from player vendors, like I think it's easier to get exactly what you want,
right.
Which I appreciate that. I mean, granted, I think there's 90 something total legendary traits that you can get. I think I have 71 or 72 of them so far. So nice. I haven't even got them all yet, but I'm doing a lot of eviction notices. I mean, we're spread out across the community trying to do as many as we can to get those legendaries to scrap down in order to potentially pull a mod off or learn one of those.
Right, right. And in eviction notice, you mentioned that's one of the events you can do that you get mm-hmm. a lot of legendaries from. So you're kind of collecting mm-hmm. all the legendaries, breaking them all down, seeing what you get, collecting mm-hmm. more legendaries, breaking it down, and just systematically going through all the mm-hmm. all the different upgrades.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it as well. I feel like I was always being weighed down by the legendaries I couldn't sell, or the ones that I was going, well, this isn't 100% of what I wanted, but if I ever do that build, then this is the best thing I have for that so far.
Yeah, and now if it's 66%. of what you want, you can get that other 33% and make it exactly what you want, which is awesome.
Right. Yeah. Let's go back and talk about the influx from the TV show, because mm-hmm. we had a lot of new people coming. I remember jumping in the game and seeing all these like very, very low level people just leaving the vault, and the discussion online of people saying things like, hey, I saw this like level 600 guy in power armor and thought he was going to kick my butt, but then he left me a bag with all these goodies and waved and ran away. This community is awesome. What was your experience during that time?
So one of the things that I did was I created this camp, and it was called Weapons Roulette. So imagine coming out of the vault and you're greeted by some high level players, and they ask you if you want to participate in a game show.
Oh, no.
So all of a sudden I plop down with like the dark weather station system, this game show where all the player has to do is point to the gun they want. We would craft it or give them one and then roll it legendary for them until we got a decent roll on it. This is legendary mod. So imagine coming into this game for the first time and a game show is plopped down right in front of you, and these high level players give you all this ammo and weapons and stuff like that.
Right.
I just want to make it fun and unique, not just for content, but just to like be like, hey, like what other game can you do this in, you know?
No, that's great, because like I'll go because there's these drop boxes you can drop stuff off in. There's one right outside the vault, and when there's stuff that I don't need, I'm just like, just drop in the drop box, somebody else can use it, some new player will find it, whatever. But that seems like a much more fun way to do it, and I'm sure their feeling coming out is like, oh god, who are these guys, because you're wearing all this like blinged out gear and your high levels, but then everyone starts giving them thumbs up and waving and dancing, and like everyone, they're like, what is going on? That's such a fun experience, because I think that's part of why Fallout 76 works, is because, and this is something that dawned on me even just recently, when they set out to make this game, they really just wanted to create a Fallout you could play with your friends. That was the stated goal. They didn't want to make an MMO. They didn't want to go the ESO route. They wanted to make a Fallout you could play with friends. And it's still designed in a way where there's only so many people on your server. It's not like you're running across 500 other people just running around in the wasteland. You might bump into other people, you might not. But do you feel like they've reached that goal of just like, hey, if you want to play Fallout with your friends, this is the one to play?
Yeah, I think they have. I think that particular goal resonates with a lot of people, especially those who are new to the game or just like, oh, this is a lot like Fallout 4. And I'm like, yeah, it is. It's like Fallout 4, but it's like arcade Fallout 4. Like it plays faster. You know, there's a lot more to do than just Fallout 4. It's a lot more dynamic feeling than Fallout 4. So I think if you like a fast paced Fallout 4 with friends, that's what you get with Fallout 76.
Right. Yeah. And you're right. It is faster, especially during the events where you have like, you know, a dozen ghouls running at you and everyone's just like, shoot all the ghouls. And, you know, body parts are flying all over the place. And
mutations also help us feel like we're a lot more powerful and a lot faster. And legendary perk cards also help us to feel more powered that way too.
Yeah, that's true. I don't always get to stream games. I like to do it sometimes when I have some spare time, and I was playing Fallout 76, I think it was just this last week or the week before, and some of my community popped in and they were like, hey, getting to catch you up live. And one of the people in the community was like, I've only ever played Fallout 4. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, you know, this is 76. And then I note, like, when I mentioned that to him, I was jumping. I have the marsupial, you know, mutation, and I'm jumping like three stories high. And I'm thinking, and I said it out loud, and I'm like, if you've only played Fallout 4, then you must be wondering how I'm jumping so high here. This is another aspect of the things that you can do in this game. You know, these mutations, everything can be even more weird and strange in different ways. And I feel like that, again, plays into the idea of let's just kind of make this fun, you know?
Yeah, and quirky. I feel like Fallout is essentially like it's brutal and the Wasteland is just this, it's a terrible situation at its core.
Yeah.
But it's like, if we can't like build a water slide out in the Wasteland and have fun, what's the point of rebuilding society? You know? So I love the quirkiness and I love that people just sort of run with it and they create crazy camps and crazy games. And, you know, if we can't redeem the Wasteland, with some fun, what's the point?
You know? Yeah. 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 And you've got a great sense of humor. You've got all these fun, you've done all these funny sketches and things over the years and voiced funny characters and you've done all sorts of real fun stuff. I know that you've had some very funny camp builds too. Like, wasn't there one that was like in a car, like a used car lot or something? And then like you've done some, like even just some of the subtly funny things of like, I'm gonna build a camp in a used car lot, you know, like that's great.
Yeah, so there's a parking lot just southwest of the White Spring, right across from the border of the golf course, and there was just like, it's like a miner's monument is one of the markers there. You can travel to it, and there's just a car lot right there. I was like, hey, let's just add some more cars in here and build a little station here, and let's just make it use cars.
Yeah, like, it's just a used car lot.
They don't run. There's no purpose to this, but it exists because it exists.
Right, right. And then, of course, the ghouls would come off the golf course and attack it. I remember that, too.
They do, yeah. They do from time to time. Yeah.
Which I think,
No sales, though, you know. Unfortunately.
They're all the ex-car salesmen who are now coming back to work.
They're angry that I'm on their turf now.
Right. Yeah, what are you doing? You're cutting into our sales. Yep. We're not selling anything anyway. Awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about some of the things going on with the recent updates. What comes to mind when you think about some of the recent stuff they've updated? Is there anything in particular you really like more than anything else?
We got caravans, which is, I'm a little bit indifferent to right now. But that's one thing that players can engage with. And it's good that like on the seasonal system, when you get beyond rank 100, you can still get 375 score for completing three public events, and caravans will actually count towards those, and those are things that you can proc as long as you've got the caps.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Which is kind of funny that this caravan requires you to pay them
right
to escort their Brahmin
right,
and they pay you in a currency that you can only spend with them.
Yes.
So it's just like the miners of Appalachia all over again, with the company store.
It is. It absolutely is. For anybody who doesn't know, these company stores would pop up around locations where people would be hired to do these very difficult jobs, where the only way to then go to the store to buy your groceries would be to use the company money at the company store, which means the company keeps all the money and basically everyone's an indentured servant, which plays into some of the history of Fallout 76 and the mole miners and all of the stuff that was going on, the strikes that were happening before the bombs dropped. All of that stuff is all relative to the lore. And yet here we are in the Wasteland, reliving the situation, still doing it and being like, yeah, send me out on another one. Here's more money. We're just like,
cool. So the caravans, the fun factor is there, right? It's just fun to escort a Brahmin and you have like a series of waves of things that you go through. Mm-hmm. It's just that I wish there were some better rewards. You know, right now, probably my favorite reward to get is legendary items. You know, the more stars, the better. 3 stars.
Yeah.
And that's the most valuable thing that I can get right now other than legendary modules. So like legendary items, legendary modules, those are the two things, the two commodities that I'm after. So I wish there was a little more challenge to the caravans, and I wish I had a better payoff. I think the fun factor's there, but again, like the rewards just aren't there. But it's something I personally repeat.
Right. I haven't had any issues running caravans. I think I've done like four or five in the last 2 weeks, just kind of doing a variety of different things. I did see on Reddit people were complaining about, like, I guess the last update broke some of the caravans. The Brahmin were getting stuck in a hill or something, and I noticed a few different people posting about this, but I haven't had any problems. Have you had any problems?
I have not. I've only been a part of one caravan that I did not start that had the infinite loop, and that was before the last update that we had just a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's been very, very smooth for me. Just some pathing issues with the Brahmin, but at this point, like, with some of the bugs, they're just endearing. So it's just like, the Brahmin didn't take the right path. so what?
Like, right. It's still there.
It's not a game breaker or anything like that. But yeah, for me, it's just like, I wish I had some better awards.
Yeah. I also like how you can make the Brahmin run faster.
Like, you can, and you can pay to make them faster too with the money that you get right? from the caravans of the Blue Ridge Mountain Caravan.
Yes. Post-capitalist, I guess it's a post-capitalist economy. Yeah,
it's a very tight economy there they're running.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we keep paying them to do it. So it's like, all right, so we're part of the problem too here.
Right. We're just like, yeah. Give me more. What do you think about the zone, like the new section of the map in the south with the, like these new bag, oh, what are the new bad guys called? They're called
the Lost.
Lost. Yeah, the name falls out of my head. They look like these electrified
ghouls. Lost on you, I guess.
It was lost on me. Yes, very nice. But there's like a new story. This like zone with these like ominous clouds, and there's even a big new boss battle with these big robots. What do you think of all that?
So I've wanted them to expand the map for a long time. I mean, I look at ZeniMax and online and Bethesda are two different entities, but they're still part of the same company.
Yeah.
And I really like what Elder Scrolls Online does with opening up sort of little portions of the map. You get a little bit of story to go with that, and then you get other content around that. So I've wanted this for a long time. They gave it to us, and for me, it did not disappoint. I love the new area. It's a new place to explore and run around and build your camp in. I have another used car lot called Skyline Motors down on the south side. So
awesome. There
is another used car lot that the caravans actually run by occasionally.
Oh.
Still no purchases from any Brahmin or humans.
Huh.
I've not stopped in to make a purchase yet.
Yeah. But the last car purchase was in Fallout 2, I'm afraid.
No, yeah, that's been and that's not even happened yet. So
that's not even in the future.
If we're going into the with the continuity of the lore, that hasn't even happened yet. So
right.
I love it. I love the lore there. I have not finished the story. There was a bit of a bug at one point where you couldn't get past a certain point, and I just never got around to finishing it. But I did like it, and I think there's a lot to expand on there with the caravans, and there's a lot to expand on with the potential lore. We were supposed to get a Mischief Night, if the listeners remember Mischief Night from back in the day.
Yeah.
The event at the White Spring for Halloween, we were supposed to get it at Rapid Inn, I believe this is what it was, and that didn't come to fruition, but that would have been really, really cool to have that at that particular location.
Yeah. So we have this addition to the physical map, but it's not the first time they've added new areas. We've had these expeditions to the pit and to Atlantic City. I would suspect that we both are in agreement that extending the map in a direction is a better thing to do than these expeditions, because you have to like load into another zone and you kind of disconnect from anybody else on the map other than people who are following you into the zone to do whatever excursion you're on or any of that stuff. Do you see it that way also?
Yeah, I think I like expeditions. I think it allows us to go to places outside of Appalachia that can invoke nostalgia for other parts of the Fallout franchise, like going to the pit from the DLC in Fallout 3.
Right. And Atlantic City feels a lot like Vegas. I mean, it feels like Vegas, but not Vegas at the same time.
Yeah. But what I like about the expeditions are the rewards. Lots of legendaries you can get from that, and get a couple of modules. You can get script, you can get ammo, a little bit of ammo, and you can get stamps that you can then go and buy fun items from Giuseppe over with the White Spring Refuge.
Yeah. I just got me my electric upgrade to my auto axe.
Yeah, that's a really, really good upgrade.
That's a nice one. Yeah, the auto axe. Anybody who wants to do a melee build, the auto axe is where it's at. Go get yourself an auto axe and just like melt people's face. They're going to nerf it, I guess, in the next patch or whatever.
I think so. So also get a chainsaw. I personally like the damage of the auto axe, and I like that the science perk cards work with the electric mod for it over in intelligence in your perk system. But I really like the handling and the footprint of the chainsaw on my screen over that of the auto axe.
It is really big. It is
it's huge. And when you're in power armor, it takes up, you're looking at, you have like 2/3 of your screen to look out of. So it takes up a good bit of your screen when running the auto act. So get a chainsaw too and try the flaming mod out for it. Nice. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I might do that as well. It's like driving a tank where you can like see through the little slit, but that's it. You know, like,
yep, and you just hope you hit something.
Yep. Yep. You know? Hopefully I'll hit everybody. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think the I agree. I think the new zone is, I absolutely want to see more of new zones, adding into the storyline. The characters are fun and interesting, and everything feels like it still fits into the game that was already there. Like, that's, I think that's one of the concerns over time, especially with games like this, is, you know, people change, different writers come on, different people, and sometimes you get to a point where it's like they add something and it just feels like, wow, this is a really different, does this really even fit in the same game that we've been playing? But tonally, I feel like they still, like, they're still nailing Fallout. Would you agree?
I agree. Yeah, I think they're doing the right things. I think they're moving in the right direction. And a lot of the upcoming things seem to lend to the fact that they are continuing to think about that style of gameplay and experiences for people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you bring up that stuff. But first, we have to go thank our patrons. But I definitely want to get your thoughts on the ghoul, being a ghoul. Mm-hmm. Are you going to make a ghoul character? The fourth star for legendaries is going to open up soon. There's some other fun stuff coming. So here, why don't we do that? We'll go thank our patrons. We'll be right back. And then we'll talk more about upcoming things to Fallout 76 and where it's going to go in the future. Here we go.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift. Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show, taking a quick break just to say thank you so much to all of our patrons, all 101 of you currently. It's like Vault 101 in here. We don't have any new patrons from last week to shout out, but we do have Atlee Morton. He is our, what size patron is this? Why can't I see a sentry bot? Why can't I read things? He's our sentry bot who gets shout outs every week. Patreon.com/FalloutLorecast if you'd like to help out with the rest of the show and funding things and getting cool stuff like t-shirts and stickers and joining for patron chats and ad-free episodes, all sorts of fun stuff. Also, we have a review. If you leave 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we'll read them out on the future episodes. Like this one from Germany. This is from Coach Beal, who says, must hear the fall for Fallout fans. This show is amazing. The host Tom does such a great job with the research, presentation of topics, and the way he keeps making adjustments to the show by introducing new formats and concepts keeps it fun and entertaining. Well, thank you so much for that specific feedback. I wasn't sure, you know, like you tried to do different stuff and you're not really sure if people are so into certain things or not, but I appreciate the feedback. If you'd like to leave feedback like that, please do. If you'd like to rate the show on Spotify, please drop 5 stars. If you want to share with your friends, any of that stuff, it is all super helpful. And thanks for being here. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, Toon, let's talk the future. Future, future, future. That's my built-in... reverb.
The future.
See, there you go. You got yours prepped. I just have to do it myself the old fashioned way by repeating. So here, what are you most looking forward to in the stuff that we definitely know is coming?
raids sound good. And I like the idea of getting potentially those four stars, some of the four stars I've heard about. I don't do PTS stuff because I really want for my reactions and my experiences to be portrayed and lived out before an audience live as I experience them.
Yeah.
But the stuff I've heard about with some of these four star legendaries, they sound incredible. And the raids sound really challenging. And we're already starting to think about like what sort of weapons, what sort of armor we want to work towards obtaining or crafting to prepare for that. So, I'm ready to bring on the raids, and I'm looking forward to seeing what I can do with it.
Yeah, they tried to do some raid-like stuff previously. We had this whole vault thing with the overgrown plants and stuff, and then that got nixed not too long after, and it was a, hey, we want to make this experience better for everyone, so we're just going to close this for now.
Yeah.
And I think we were kind of thinking maybe they'll open that up again, but it looks like they're going in a completely different direction with a brand new thing that works kind of in its own way, and will require you to have like a team of individuals who are ready for the raid. I mean, we're talking like if you were to play an ESO and go try one of their dungeons with a group and put it on hard mode or something, you would want to make sure that everyone's prepped. You know what monsters are there. Everyone has their role. Everybody has enough, the right gear. You have enough stim packs or whatever ways of managing your health. Do you have any specific expectations? Because we haven't got a ton of details other than there's a big snake and like, hey, it's a raid.
Yeah, so there seems to be different stages of the raid from what I understand, and each little stage segment has a particular boss and some particular sort of mechanics or tasks that you have to perform. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that Fallout is doing this. You know, it's not going to be like ESO or World of Warcraft. They're going to find their own spin and make the experience of the raid very Fallout-like.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. I like that they're bringing in these other concepts from other games, but they're making it very Fallout. I mean, Nuclear Winter was a great example of them taking the Battle Royale system and making it their own. So I would expect that the raid is going to be a lot like this without having participated in it myself. But understanding that there are going to be some tasks and mechanics that have to be completed, and knowing the mechanics beforehand, just like an ESO going into a trial or going into a daily dungeon, of understanding what those are so you can be prepared going in.
Yeah, because certain things are going to hit in certain spots. Somebody's going to need to collect the item over there and put it over there while somebody else distracts the big monster, you know, like that kind of stuff. Do you think, here's a question, this is something I've seen people asking questions about online. Do you think we're going to get any sort of perk, whether it's for a weapon or armor or something, that allows somebody to aggro an enemy in order to play the role of tank? We have healing.
We kind of have the healer now, the medic, the medic trait. So first star on legendaries, it got a bit of an upgrade where whatever you shoot with a particular weapon will heal, which, and then there are some other healer sort of roles throughout the perk chart as well, and the perk card system.
Right. It feels like they've been kind of fleshing that out over the years. You can take on like a flamethrower, and you can like have it set up so that when you shoot your friends, they heal from the flames. Like, that makes sense.
Fallout 76, everybody is DPS. Like, everyone is doing DPS all the time, which is fine. We haven't seen any particular trait yet that they have with aggro.
Yeah.
I don't know about it in the PTS. I haven't heard anything about that. So the people still tell me like, you know, what's hot and what's not in the PTS.
Sure.
I don't know. If they did, I'd be fine with that.
You think it would be cool? Do you think it would help kind of etch out people's roles? I mean, it's the, what do they call it? It's the trinity of like a lot of MMO
MMO RPGs.
Right.
I'm fine if they do that, as long as they put the Fallout twist on it, as long as it's not like any other particular aggro role that we've ever seen. Like, give it a Fallout twist, and I think it will suffice, and it will work, I believe.
Yeah, I think that could be helpful. But then again, we haven't tried the raid yet, so maybe it's not even, maybe they've designed it in a way where that's not even needed. Like, I do know that there are some, like, there are definitely some perks and some abilities that you can get for your weapons or armor where when you do get hit, it benefits your combat, or it benefits the people around you, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's definitely some of that there. But getting hit isn't always something that's easy to trigger if everyone's fighting like one big monster.
Yeah, attention seems to, when you attention gets drawn to you somehow. Like we were doing an encrypted with the what we like to call the fake news sheep squatch, the imposter sheep squatch, and that thing was always attracted to me. Like it was it was me always. But it's like,
why?
When I die, like it just randomly kind of picks somebody else, and it seems like sometimes it kind of like goes with proximity. I don't know exactly how the pathing or the attention works with that, but you know, there's not really a way, it seems, to particularly pinpoint that.
Yeah. It's not something that we, the players, seem to be able to control or predict. It just kind of happens. So, yeah. And I think let's transition into talking about the ghoul. Like, pretty soon, next year is going to start. We're going to have the ability to play as a ghoul character or turn our character into a ghoul character. It seems like radiation is going to work very differently for ghouls. So having like a bloodied build where you keep a certain level of radiation and keep your health down may not be viable. But it seems like maybe other kinds of more melee focused builds might come out for ghouls. What's your sense of it?
There's also the feral meter too, which the more feral you get, you also open up new traits and attributes there. I like that we're getting perk cards for it. I think that's really, really, really unique. And I like that they're reducing other perk cards of how much space they take up with your special points. So I know, for example, like there's a couple of cards. There's a card in luck, I think. Maybe I can't remember if it's serendipity or which card it is, but they're reducing it from 3 to 1. So it's like, that's going to allow you to put more perk cards, you know, in your build. That'll include some of those ghoul perk cards that will also benefit you as well.
Right. Are you going to build a new ghoul character? Or are you going to turn one of your existing characters into a ghoul?
I'll turn an existing character into a ghoul. And with the ability just to go back whenever we want, like there's no risk for trying things out.
Right. Just like coming up with a different build. You can just like switch your perk cards, like just remember it and switch it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there'll be a system where we can switch back to human smooth skin, if you will. We can go back to being a smooth skin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I definitely want to play with it. I want to see what the benefits are. I'm going to see if low health is a possibility with it. So you could still run without the radiation, try to keep your health down low. And see if you can still benefit from the bloodied perks and some of those other mutations as well that also benefit lower health builds.
Right. And if you aren't familiar, one of the things that's very, very unique to Fallout 76 is this idea of a bloodied build. You see this in certain other types of games where, like, as your health goes down, you can do more damage. But because of the way the radiation works in Fallout 76, it can peg your health to like a maximum percent. Like if you want to only keep your health at 15%, you just fill the rest of it up with radiation. And then as long as nobody heals your radiation, you're good. You're maximizing your damage. It's a very glass cannon kind of thing.
It's high risk, high reward. And there's a lot of that. And, you know, as a bloody build, you just die, and it's part of the game, you know?
Right, but it's not particularly punishing. That's the thing about Fallout 76. It's like, you might drop some junk, but you can pick
for
it back
events,
up.
Like, the more that you die, the longer your timer is to get back into a particular event. But, you know, in most events, they're only lasting, you know, a few minutes. Sometimes you don't even... It doesn't even phase you.
Right.
Like a Queen Battle or the new Storm Goliath, one of those, like, that... potentially can last a little bit longer. You may notice that get up to 30 seconds. So you're waiting 30 seconds to get back into the game, which is brutal, but...
Yeah. Where'd our damage guy go? Oh, he's respawning again.
Yep, he's dead again. He's on the ground. I might revive him. I'm a scout banner.
Yep. Okay, so here, let's talk about the... Unless there's anything else that's specifically coming up you want to talk about. Anything else you know of?
I mean, I'm just looking forward to the... I'm looking forward to the ghoul character. I had asked Bill and John over at Bethesda in an interview I got to do with them. I was like, how many Coopers do you think we'll see running around Appalachia? They said, we'll probably see some, you know.
All of them.
You know, we want people to, you know, also forge their own ghoul characters. And,
that's true.
You know, or even like role play as one of the other great ghouls throughout the universe.
Somebody can make a gob.
Or a Hancock.
Or a Hancock.
You know, my favorite ghouls is not a particular ghoul. When I think of ghouls in the Fallout universe, I think about Fallout 4, and I think about the ghouls. I think it was a place called the Slog.
Okay.
It was a tarberry farm they had and a pool, like a little community pool. Was it the Slog? Does that ring a bell?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm so bad at remembering specific names.
I am too.
Like, I can picture things in my head, but I don't always remember the name.
Yeah.
Off of my head.
But there was a, it was, you know, it was east of Sanctuary, and there were just this community of ghouls just sort of living together. So when I think about ghouls, I go back to that little community pool where they have that little tarberry farm.
Nice. Quaint little farm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. So speculating for the future, we're getting ghouls. The thing that crossed my mind next is, what about synths? What do you think about that?
Just depends on how they want to do the lore. I'm fine with it personally. I don't mind sort of like a little bit of retconning. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like,
I mean, you're even one of the guys early on who was saying, like, is 76 like a simulation? What's actually going on here?
Oh, man, I love that. I can talk about the simulation theory all day. But, yeah.
So if that's the case, then you can kind of, I mean, you can work in the desert armor from New Vegas, even if it hasn't happened yet.
Like, synths, you know, the seasons never change. Like, what the point is, like, is it just a video game? Is it, or is it a simulation? So, like, you can speculate all day, but I digress.
Yeah. Well, would you want to be a synth? Would you look forward to that?
I would try it out if they offered up like Gen 1 synths or even a prototype. Mm-hmm. Type of synth, that they wanted to bring that somehow into Appalachia. People would get bent out of shape about that, but I personally would not get upset about that.
I think it's fine. Yeah.
Even becoming like a super mutant or something like that.
Yeah,
or,
super mutant.
You know.
Well, one of the things that occurred to me about synths is you could take the cannibal perk, but then it only works on robots.
Mm-hmm.
You just eat the robot parts, and then they repair your body.
Yeah.
Like, that could be cool.
Yeah, I have no problem with some prototype or some form of synth, as long as it relatively jives with the lore. You know, I'm have no qualms with becoming a synth at all.
Yeah, from a design perspective, it seems to work easier than Super Mutant, because you can still use the same body shape, the same armor layouts. If you were to do a Super Mutant, you would have to have Super
everything
Mutant
gets larger,
variations
has to scale up
everything, right? And I can imagine that being a much more daunting task from, you know, behind the scenes.
The developer standpoint, that is tough.
Yeah, unless they just flat out said, no, Super Mutants obviously can't wear the same clothes as regular people. They're too big. Here are specific, or like, either here's a specific set of Super Mutant items that they can wear, or they can wear power armor stuff just stuck on their bodies.
Because
they're big enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I like whatever they do. None of that. Like, I think a lot of people will get bent out of shape with the lore. And people are maybe get bent out of shape about the ghouls, but like, it's fun. Like,
I know.
It's a game. It's a story, and it's supposed to be fun. And not everything needs to make sense all the time.
I think that there, especially when it comes to games, it's a lot like comic books. You've got your mainline games, you got your mainline comic, and that plays by a certain set of rules, right? Like, it fits the lore in a certain way. There's a certain tone. There are certain expectations you have. But then you have the spin-off comics or the spin-off video games. And Fallout 76 is, although it is canon, as decided by Bethesda,
As far as we can tell,
it definitely plays by a different set of rules, just like Tactics played by a different set of rules, you know, and that's fine. Like, the fact that we get so bent out of shape about like every little detail in the lore and how it does or doesn't match something else. It's like, in my mind, if you are George R.R. Martin and you're the sole person who's in charge of making sure that that universe fits a certain way that things are supposed to work in a certain time frame, then get a little bit out of shape if like he does something and it contradicts something else that he already wrote, because it's one dude and he's got notes to make sure that that all works, you know. But after,
or look at Tolkien and
years,
the Rings of Power, you know, it's like,
I'm not that worried about it. I'm a huge fan of Tolkien. Anybody who's checked in my Lord of the Rings lorecast knows that, like, I'm super deep into the lore there. But at the same time, Peter Jackson broke the lore, and yet we still love that original trilogy, right?
We still,
like,
love it.
There are things that absolutely happen in those films that either never happened in the books, go against the things that happened in the books, or, you know, were left out. Rings of Power, same sort of thing. Like, I'm not going to get super caught up in that and have a problem with it, because if you are somebody who's a stickler for the lore, go back and read the original trilogy. Go back and play Fallout 1 and 2 if those are the ones you think are the best. That's fine. There's nothing, nobody's keeping you from playing those games.
Yeah, just have fun. I think at the end of the day, it's like, just have fun, even if you don't necessarily agree with every decision they make.
Right, right. I think we as a society have kind of gotten to the place where we just are just happy to get upset at something, and then we just ruin our own fun. I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so
this game's not going to be on forever, folks. Like, enjoy it while it's here.
That's true. All right, so speaking of that, looking into the future, looking at your crystal ball, pulling out your magical crystal ball from Appalachia, I'm thinking it's probably like a shiny ghoul skull or something. Mm-hmm. Viewing, let's say, 2025, 2026, where else are we going, or where else would you like things to go?
Okay, so one thing that would be interesting is if they opened up the area across the Ohio River, like from Point Pleasant, and allowed us to actually go into Ohio.
Yeah, further west, right, you know, to the west.
And go there on purpose instead of accidentally.
clipping through the map? Is that what you're talking about?
Or just going to Ohio in general.
Not actually us going to Ohio.
Yeah. On purpose.
We just lost a certain part of our audience right there.
I digress. I would like to see them open up some other part of the map. I think that would be great and offer up some new lore opportunities from that. I kind of want to see an expedition to D.C.,
yeah,
I think that would be really, really fun. I think it would invoke a lot of nostalgia, and you get to see kind of what happens before the events of Fallout 3 in DC. And, you know, it would be fun just to have like an expedition that where you just run through the mall in DC and just all the monuments that are just larger than life, and just run around the mall and just run a mission. It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm totally on board for both of those ideas. I think they both make a lot of sense. And it seems like they've been turning out more content faster. It seems like this has been, especially with the TV show being a success, they're like, okay, people want this stuff. We're going to keep making more of it, which is a good sign, being that we're like, originally when the game came out, they were like, we're going to support this for the next 5 years. Well, guess what? It's been over 5 years now.
Yep.
So,
yep. And we need it. They need Fallout 76 to be a success, and they need it. They need to keep churning out content because people are hungry for Fallout. And this is the Fallout you get right now.
Right. Right.
And that's okay. And that's good. We still have some form of Fallout, you know, to enjoy and engage with.
Right. All right. So what do you think about the next mainline Fallout game? Do you think we're going to have to wait till Fallout 5 comes out after Elder Scrolls 6? Do you think that Microsoft is going to hand off a side project to someone else and we're going to get some spinoff, kind of like New Vegas was a spinoff from 3?
I have no idea. Like, if they already have something in the works, they have something in the works, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Obsidian is now under the Microsoft umbrella as well. So it's like whether or not the siblings want to play together within Microsoft, like, they really have a choice. Like, Phil Spencer's going to be like, hey, like, yeah, Obsidian, you're going to take over the next Fallout franchise.
Yeah, and Obsidian has a lot of other games they've been working on. So there's some speculation about, even if they wanted to, do they have the bandwidth to do it?
Would they have the capacity to take that on?
Right.
You know, if they did, that's fine. Another single player would be fantastic, because we're not going to see Fallout 5 until, I believe, after 2030. And I don't want them to rush it either. I know we all want Fallout. We all want the next Elder Scrolls game, but we also don't want them to rush either. We want them to give us a complete game that is in line with the way we experience Elder Scrolls, the way we experience Fallout. So I'm the patient kind. It's just like, it'll get here when it gets here. And I'm okay with that. As far as something coming in between, I have no idea. I know that Microsoft and wants to capitalize on the success of the show, and they should, you know, as a business, desire that. That's good. It's just doing it right and making sure that all the parts are there, and it's not just something that's cobbled together that can just bring the franchise down in some form or fashion, because it's not great content.
Right, right. Yeah, like, you know, it wouldn't have been terrible for them to push off Fallout 76's launch an extra year. That would have been probably beneficial, but they didn't. And now there are still people out there who are like, wait a minute, that game sucks. What are you talking about? How can you enjoy that? And it's like, let me bring you up to speed
either, folks. Like, just like, if you are a hater of the game, just come on and play. Like, there's no gatekeeping. There's none of that in the Fallout community. Like, just come on and have fun with us. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. And that's okay if you play it and you don't like it.
Absolutely. It absolutely is okay. And you can probably get it really cheap right now. So
yeah, maybe go absolutely. Try it
out. Yeah. Yeah. I think we might get a spinoff thing. I think we also might get the Fallout 3 remaster. I know that that is something
that's been rumored. But, you know, that comes around. I know it was found in, you know, it was in documents. Mm-hmm. With the antitrust thing that Microsoft went through with Blizzard Activision. But, you know, I'm fine with it. I would like to see a port to Switch, a Fallout 4, you know, but if yeah. I get it, that's fine. If I don't, I want to play Fallout 4 laying on my back. Right. I don't want to get a Steam Deck. I have a Switch, so
right.
Let me
right.
play Fallout 4 on my Nintendo Switch. Like, but like, if they don't, it's fine. Like yeah. Fallout Remaster, I think I'm more of a forward thinking person when it comes to this franchise rather than going looking back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with both. I think that would be great too. I think that there are a lot of people who, because Fallout 3 and New Vegas are so old at this point and probably came out where a lot of the community were children or teenagers, maybe didn't get the chance to play them when they felt new. They kind of feel old now. They crash on a lot of systems. Like, I wouldn't mind the opportunity for another generation to go back and play those games and be like, oh, these are great. You know,
I think they definitely need some overhauls to come more in line with sure. the more modern Fallout, but yeah, the perk system could change and
yeah,
it could use a graphical overhaul. But I think if it did those two things and they added some new content in there as well, I think it could yeah. be a huge hit.
Yeah. The stories are good. Characters are good. Like there's yeah. a lot of good that you could still enjoy with some, you know, some moderate updates. In order yeah, to bring absolutely. Things up to speed. So, yeah, well, I think that's going to do it for our investigation of Fallout 76. I hope your time in the wasteland is enjoyable. I hope you eventually sell a car.
I might. You never know.
You never Ryan. Know. What if somebody shows up in your stream tomorrow and is like, hey, heard you. Well, I guess they won't be up tomorrow, but after the show goes up for everybody and they're like, hey, I heard you got some cars for sale. What can I get? What can I get for 50,000?
Like, come on down, 50,000 caps. Motors, and see what I can get you here. I can put you in a nice new car right here. This one's got some plants on it, but don't worry about it. Just hop on in.
Just hop on in. It'll drive. I promise. We'll just start yep. at the top of the hill. Just
ignore the blocks that it's on. That's part. That's a feature. It's a feature.
Right. Well, if people want to check out your stuff, where do they go?
You can find me over on Twitch Monday through Friday, starting at 8:30 a.m. Eastern at Tooniversal. And basically, I'm Tooniversal everywhere or Tooniversal TV. Just search for those and you can connect with
there
me.
You go. And you got live streams every day, usually starting in the mornings. You do a lot of giveaways. So if
I
people
do a lot of giveaways. I do a lot do. Of Game Pass Ultimate giveaways because I feel like that's just such a thing that anybody can enjoy in some form or fashion.
Right. You plus, know? If you win that giveaway, you could try the Fallout games that you haven't tried before.
Exactly. Or the Elder Scrolls games oh,
yeah.
as well.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Go check out Toon stuff. And Toon, thank you for joining me. It's always fun to have you and always kind of connect. And I enjoy getting perspective from people who have more experience in things than I do because it helps me feel like in the know. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. And my experience is a little bit different than with other people because it's part of my daily routine and my work. So
yeah.
I probably look at the game differently than other people and the franchise is as different as other people do as well.
Sure. Sure. I'm sure I do too. You know, like my yeah. lens is very different than the average person at this point, cause I've been doing the yeah. show for so long. So, but it's good to get that experience and it's always fun to chat and have you on the show. So thanks
absolutely.
For joining me.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Yeah. And everyone else who wants to check out the rest of my stuff, robotsradio.net. You can check out that. You can check out the other shows. I do a bunch of Lorecast shows and, you know, sometimes I stream, sometimes I do stuff on social media, but whatever. You guys know how this stuff works. You've probably been listening to this for a long time. But thank you for being here, too. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And I'll be back next week. So until then, maybe go buy a used car in Appalachia because, you know, the economy needs you. Help the Appalachian wasteland economy. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye, everyone. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So, both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us, and it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.